broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Fine, but I said, you know, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your...
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
It doesn't really make any sense at all.
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely. You start a trip, people...
Are you blonde? Are you blonde with...
No, but I love it. Love it.
We're trying to get them put back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Of course, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-7445. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Later on, Doug Danger joins us. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and the topic is going to be Charlie Sheen. And whether or not Charlie Sheen is a good thing or a bad thing for the entertainment business, your kids, and CBS. Coming up, Ted Bell is going to be discussing a potential lawsuit involving his restaurant and a patron. And what is happening? Ted runs one of the more prominent restaurants in Beverly Hills, California. And here is a guy who is being, he's possibly considering a lawsuit against one of his own patrons for actions that took place in that restaurant last month. So that's all ahead here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. And don't forget, of course, our news hour comes up at the last hour of the show. And it'll be with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Join us also with our live streaming Phil TV video cast on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now new, enhanced, and by God, I think we pretty much got it in HD.
Well, is that verified?
You know what, man? I think it's just about high definition, I'm telling you. All right. So I gave you all the lowdown on what's happening on the show tonight. We also want to mention that our affiliate spotlight this evening casts its very firm gaze on Providence, Rhode Island, WSAR 1480 AM. Great people in Rhode Island and Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG 1230 AM in Grand Rapids. And PhilHendryShow.com is our, of course, our website. Let's join now Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we are going to be talking with him about this lawsuit that he's been talking with the, not only his lawyer, but us about.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come out to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the most delicious cuts of meat and a great time. Served up every day.
Meat in your mouth.
I know you have a lot on your mind tonight.
I believe we have an awful lot on our mind, Phil, and I don't know what this woman was thinking. I'm not going to speculate. My attorney mentioned that we can talk about it in a limited way, but it's not anything that I think, I don't want to characterize it the wrong way. I can tell you what happened. And I can tell you that it's significant for me, and it's significant to come on your program and talk about this, because so many people in the restaurant business, Phil, are dealing with this. We are dealing with levels of abuse from our customers that we haven't ordinarily dealt with.
And so tell us what happened so we can sort of scope this out. This was an incident in which you were assaulted, right?
Absolutely, yes. It happened, as you mentioned, Bill, it happened in the middle of January last month. We were closing, pretty close to closing. We'd had some late parties come in, and we had a dessert that we were pushing, and we were very, very high on it, and it was a new kind of ice cream, and we also were serving it with our vanilla cake, and we were serving it with our chocolate cake. So we brought the dessert tray by this table. And there was an elderly woman there who, I have to tell you, she was not the friendliest person throughout the evening. So you could say, well, maybe you should have seen this coming, maybe not, I don't know. I said, you've got to try our dessert, please, it's right here on the dessert tray, and try this ice cream, we've got it in three flavors. We basically had this vanilla, chocolate, and
this was the dessert that you were pushing, huh?
Well, the ice cream was, yeah.
Okay, but you're putting it on cake or Alamode?
That's exactly. So she looks at me and she says, I'll take an Alamode on a piece of the French apple pie that we had. And I said, great. And we brought her two scoops. And she ate this. Now, we have been dealing with this supplier, Phil, and I think you know Len Hassinger and his brother. These are two suppliers who deal with dairy and a dessert, sort of a dessert model, if you will, back in Chicago, and we really got a hold of this ice cream and really liked it. And so it's a Hassinger, it's part of the Hassinger dairy chain. So the woman ate the ice cream, and I said to her, how did you like it? She said it was delicious, and then I told her that it was breast milk ice cream. And that it was
what?
It was breast milk ice cream, okay? And this was what made it unique. It is ice cream made from the breast milk of women. And so we were excited about this product because we think it is a green product, meaning it is breast milk from a human woman. And so we're not taking up space in the traditional sense with the cows or steer. And this was an ice cream that was made from the milk of human beings. So, you know, the overhead is not that much, and it's a very, very delicious ice cream. She picks up the dish of ice cream, and that's when I was assaulted.
And what did she do?
She picked the ice cream up, and she took the dish, which was a sterling silver dish. Yeah, it was a sterling silver dish, and threw it at me, hitting me in, the dish glanced off my head. I got ice cream all over the front of me. And I said to her, I'm going to call the police. And she said, she wanted the police to. And I said, you know what, I'm going to be a gentleman about this. I'm going to sue you. Now, her husband, I happen to know, he runs a post-production house in Beverly Hills. And
Hold on for a minute. So this woman picked up this ice cream and threw it at you.
Yes. After she picked up the tray, there was some pie left on it.
After you told her that it was breast milk ice cream.
That is correct. Now, her husband is a very wealthy post-production guy. And I got news for you, and I got news for them, and I got news for anybody that wants to hear the news. They don't want me coming after them. They don't want Ted Belinick. The last place they want to see me is in a courtroom. And I was humiliated in front of my customers, in front of my employees. I was assaulted. And
is there anything in your mind do you feel it was fair to bring up the fact that it was breast milk ice cream?
What I don't understand what is unfair about that. Breast milk ice cream, which, by the way...
I thought that the selling of breast milk in the United States was illegal.
No, that the selling of breast... Hold on for a minute. And don't... Please, Phil, don't start talking about things you don't know. The selling of breast milk is illegal. But this was on the house. It was also breast milk ice cream, all right? So it was not what we would call... it was not what you're going to call contraband. That's number one. But number two, she didn't pick that ice cream up and throw it at me because she felt it was illegal. She didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she is a sour woman who I felt was offended by the fact that there are younger women providing product that she can't provide.
And you think she threw that ice cream at you because she was angry that you had served her breast milk ice cream at a time in her life when she can't create breast milk?
Absolutely. And she called me every name in the book. And
did she ever, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ted.
Go ahead.
Did she reference at all what she thought was the quasi-legal nature? And I'm not saying it was illegal.
Look, there was nothing illegal about it. It was, I gave it to her. It was in, the product was made from breast milk. All right. So I didn't sell it. And it's a very delicious, I don't know if you've had breast milk ice cream, Phil.
No, I haven't.
Well, I can tell you I have, and it is absolutely delicious. And as I said, it came in three. We have the chocolate, we've got Dutch chocolate, and we've got vanilla. Actually, four. We have vanilla, and we got French vanilla. And we carry those flavors because those are the most popular. But what she did to me by picking this up and throwing it at me, we got a little sidetracked. She assaulted me in my own restaurant. Now, this is a problem that we've had where patrons in restaurants, especially after they've had a few drinks, decide that they're going to get a little bit out of hand, they're going to throw things at people, or they're going to try to get into a fight. And we're restaurateurs. We are not you know, we're not security people. We're not we don't want to get involved in fights. We are simply individuals who are you know, trying to run a business, and we have this this kind of thing happening, which, to my way of thinking, Bill, is an actionable offense. The reason why I'm on your program talking about this...
Well, let's, can I interrupt one more time, Ted? I'll give our number out. It's 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight about breast milk ice cream.
Well, no, but really what we're talking about here is a patron assaulting me.
Yeah, we're talking about a patron of yours that assaulted you by throwing a dish of ice cream or a dish of pie. I guess she'd eaten all of it.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. You know, when I found out, and I'm talking to her husband, I said, "You got a problem." I said to her husband, I said, "You got two problems. You got me, I'm coming after you, and you're married to her."
And what did he say to that?
What's he going to say? And this is one of the most powerful guys in town. He's got two post-production houses. But I said to him, "You got two problems." And I held my fingers up right in front of his face. And I said, "Two." I said, "One," and I was holding the fingers up, and then I would peel one down at a time as I listed it. "One, I'm suing you," which left, guess which finger it left?
So you're flipping the man off.
Exactly. And I said, "And two," and I stuck that one right in his face. "You're married to that." I was angry. I was angry.
All right, but again, what we're talking about here is the woman throwing this dish at you after she found out that you had given her breast milk ice cream. Do you think that there is anything to that?
Well, I told you that what I thought was to it. I said that the fact that she is not a young woman anymore, all right, she is not able to make breast milk herself. You come to the table and you say, "And by the way, we've got a very delicious dessert this evening, breast milk ice cream," which, if you get into the head of a woman, the first thing she's thinking is, you know, "I can't make breast milk ice cream." Some, I don't know whether they're thinking some, you know, woman that's loose. You know, what kind of woman, you know, to be honest with you, and I've never asked the question, but what kind of woman, you know, lends her breast milk to make ice cream? I to be honest with you, I sell it, or I wouldn't sell it, but I do have it in my restaurant to give away. But I do question, you know, the character, I guess, of a woman that's going to.
All right. So you're saying that you have this breast milk ice cream, but
I just question the character of any woman that would donate her own breast milk for this. But I think you've gotten a little bit off point.
Well, there's parallel things happening here, Ted. And our number, folks, 877-876-7445. On the one hand, you have the woman who threw that dish at you. The lawsuit that you're going to file, and rightfully so, and I don't know, was there a police report?
Oh, we both wanted the police. I said, "I'm calling the police." She said, "I'm calling the police, too." I said, "You know what? I tell you what I'll do. How about if I just sue you?" And that backed her off, and it backed her husband off, and they just, I have to tell you, they fled the restaurant, is the best way I can put it.
All right, well, you've got a couple of things going on here, in my opinion. You have not only the fact that she threw this ice cream dish at you, you also have the fact that it was breast milk ice cream. Now, I know it's against the, I know you didn't sell it.
No, I did not sell it. No, I did not. I'd like you to not keep bringing that up, because I didn't sell it.
All right, so you just gave it to them as a treat.
I gave it to them because it was late. Because we had it, it's delicious, and I said, "You've got to try this," and she said, "Okay," and I said, "It's ice cream, it comes, what would you like?" And she said, "I'll take the," I think she had the Dutch, she had two scoops, she wanted the Dutch chocolate, and she wanted the French vanilla, and there again is another point. You know, these people, when you give them something free, they really want it all. They just reach out and grab, 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 and then you say, "It's breast milk ice cream," and she throws the dish at me. So, and I told her husband that, too. I said, "She wants a cop. A minute ago, she was grabbing for all she could get." So this is a real problem among people who run restaurants. When you're late at night, they have a few drinks.
Had this woman been drinking?
I have to believe she was, yeah. I have to believe she was drinking. You've got to be, I got to tell you something, Phil. You've got to be drunk to throw a dish at me. To throw a dish at me. And as I said, there's two places you don't want to see me. You don't want to see me in court. And you don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish and you find out it was me that you threw it at. So,
right, well, let's take a break here. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He owns a steakhouse, and he served a woman breast milk ice cream as a treat. When she found out what it was, she threw the dish at him. There is a lawsuit now between Mr. Bell and this woman. And our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Is this a... I wonder if this is actionable. And I, to be honest with you, I wonder seriously about the... I don't know whether it's legal or if that's the word, the legality or the tastefulness of serving somebody breast milk ice cream and not telling them. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this portion of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Radio for Patriots. I got to remember what that is, Phil. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. There you go.
Here at Ted's.
Beverly Hills, California.
Meat in your mouth.
Are you a native, Ted?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles originally. I was born and raised in believe it or not, Inglewood.
Well, when you say believe it or not, people should know what we mean, because it's primarily an African-American neighborhood.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I am white. Not that there's anything unusual about, a white man coming from a place that... I drove by our old house, and it was right there in Inglewood, and I said, there's a black guy sleeping in my bed now.
Good God, Ted.
Well, I don't mean that racially, and I know you want me to mean it that way.
No, I don't. I just don't find that tasteful.
I don't mean it racially, and I apologize.
All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the serving of ice cream to a woman. It turned out to be breast milk ice cream. And the woman throwing the dish of ice cream in your face.
And it was, by the way, it was on the house.
And it was comp, yes. I wanted to ask you before we take one of our calls, do you not think you should tell someone before you serve them food made from a fluid from a human being?
I think, Phil, you put it that way to make it sound as vile as you could, and I really resent that. And
no, I think I put it very objectively.
Well, what difference does it make? That we eat food that is from the body of a mammal. We eat mammals. What is different from a woman?
We don't eat human flesh.
Oh, my God. We're not talking about eating human flesh. We're talking about breast milk, which is as pure and as it is a... Breast milk is, I think, the very symbol. You know, I can't believe it. I got a dish thrown at me, and I looked at her, and I said, it's made from breast milk, and she got the sourest look on her face, like a woman that's full of hate.
All right, let me take a call very quickly, and I apologize to our callers. We're running a little late tonight. Here is Sherry in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I don't know what he's thinking. Female breast milk, why didn't he tell her in the beginning that this is something we're comping, we're giving you? It's a new ice cream. It's female breast milk.
You didn't tell
female
her it was female breast
milk.
That is you're not going to come out and say that, because that's the, what do you call it? That's the surprise, if you will.
Okay, that's why you got the dish thrown at you.
Well, it didn't make any difference in my mind whether it was female breast. I thought it was unusual because it was made from female breast milk, that it was so delicious.
No, I'll tell you. Female breast milk carries whatever that mother eats. That's why a lot of babies cannot drink their mother's milk, because of the filtering. It's got stuff in it. If they're on drugs, if they're on alcohol.
Yeah. Oh,
and you fed this woman.
How do you know that the woman wasn't... How do you know where this breast milk comes from?
breast milk the Hassinger brothers use?
Yeah.
It is absolutely, it comes from people that they know, friends of theirs.
Oh, God, man, I don't know if that's anything. Sherry, why don't you hang on the line? We'll be right back with you and Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
God.
Bill. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show is not only brought to you by Ted of Beverly Hills, it's brought to you by Dynapep, a fantastic, fantastic product. Here's Phil Henry to tell you a little bit more about Dynapep.
Here
Microshot.
Thank you, Ted.
I've tried the Dynapep. I like it a lot.
Dynapep is one of our sponsors, and of course, Dynapep, a sponsor to our program and a product that we use, and of course, Ted the Bear, you know.
I saw Ted the Bear with the bells on his neck and everything. Very cute. Although I didn't like him,
Never mind. Dynapep is a micro energy shot, folks, that we use on this program. I use Dynapep some nights when you really need an extra little pick-me-up. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's only 2 calories, okay? So it's a healthy micro shot, and it gets you through the night focused and alert, or keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We have Dynapep here in studio, and if you're watching our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, show you the Dynapep, and then you see Buddy Bear has got some Dynapep. This is the Dynapep that I took this evening. It's a cinnamon-flavored Dynapep, and it is awesome. I may have another one here. It's Dynapep, and go to Dynapep.com to learn more. Dynapep.com. Ted Bell with us. We're going to go back to our listener, Sherry, who is very patient, waiting in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Sherry. And the question I had, and you brought it up as well, Sherry, is selling somebody a product that is a bodily fluid.
You know, you make it sound like I was selling that woman urine. And I think there's a difference between that and mother's milk.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, the scientists say that urine is purified. It is sanitary water. So what's the difference? That's gross to be sending. Why would you...
Are you telling me that mother's milk that we feed babies is the same as someone peeing into a bottle?
Well,
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yes.
We are? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Phil?
It's purified.
I'm talking to a lady.
So you tell me. Okay. How would you like if somebody had served you...
Oh, my God. Are you telling me that you're...
A man's body fluid. No, wait. How would you like it if somebody had given you a man's bodily fluid in a tiramisu or in some kind of... How would you like that once you found out after you had eaten it? How would you react?
Let me ask you, how many times have you put that into food and not told anybody? Thank you.
That's absolutely rude.
Well, I don't know why she gets off asking me something.
No,
like
it's
that.
Not rude. I'm telling you.
Breast milk is meant to be. Breast milk is meant to be consumed, and I think with the other
only,
that you're talking about, no, it isn't. Wow.
Not necessarily.
We've talked a lot of women into it. But
hey, hold on. I want to watch where we're going with this conversation.
What?
A lot of.
What you just said.
A lot of babies cannot ingest.
Well, I said we've talked. A lot of bam. The point is, some babies may be able to eat it, and some may not. But it is intended to be consumed. It's there for the nourishment and for the survival of the infant. The other liquids you're talking about am not, or are not.
Am not?
Is not.
how do you
Sherry,
know?
Sherry, thank you so much.
That's the
thank
point.
You so much.
That's
yeah, how do
point.
We know?
How do we know? How do we
how
know?
How do you know?
The two liquids that you mentioned, I have one is a waste product, the other is for the procreation of life, neither of which is the consumption of a food. I can't believe that you have me. You know, ma'am, you're starting to make me think what you have for lunch every day.
No, I eat regular food that goes to the FDA.
No, I doubt that. I doubt that. Not after what I just heard you say. I doubt that sincerely.
Okay, let's stop while we're ahead.
Has your milk for your ice cream been passed by the FDA?
Wait a minute. You got done telling me that a man's you-know-what and something else is perfectly fine as food, and you use it in soups and stews.
So no, she never
said that.
That's not what I said.
You pretty much said
how
that.
How would you like
no,
it?
No, she didn't. All right, if somebody snuck it into a food. All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. It's Roger in St. Louis. Go ahead, Roger, on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to kind of steer this in a more respectable direction. I have food allergies. And this restaurateur needs to understand that a guy like me, if you said, oh, surprise, there's an ingredient, okay, I get extremely ill over certain things. I'm allergic to perfumes. And
well, wouldn't you say that?
I would be extremely offended if somebody just...
Wouldn't you say to me, excuse me, before you bring me that food, I want you to know I have food allergies.
Yeah.
Would you say that? All right.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure I win. I win.
What do you mean you win?
No.
I think you're
bringing me ice cream, and then afterwards you say surprise, you wouldn't have got
a
tray.
If I brought you ice cream,
and you wouldn't walk up for an hour. And the cops would have taken me to jail because I'd have sat in
jail.
You have a responsibility to the public, mister.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Hey.
Well, this guy,
I'm serious.
He's not even going to tell me he's got a food allergy. He's going to sit there. Yeah, I bet you'd be offended by women's breast milk, wouldn't you? That'd really upset you. A guy like you.
Okay, I wouldn't have... Me personally, if you let me know ahead of time, wouldn't have had a problem.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
You have a food allergy. Yeah, get out of here.
This isn't worth my breath.
You're not making sense. That's why you're hanging up, because you know I kicked your ass. All 6 foot four of you.
Hey. What is it with you?
Well, this guy came on and said... He came on...
What's the matter?
Well, he came on and he said... He said that he... had food allergies, okay?
What, Ted, if you're emotional about this...
Well, and then I said, okay, wouldn't you tell me that you did? And he said, yeah, and I beat him, and he kept talking.
Are you crying?
Well, why did you do something to defend me?
The man made a statement, and I think what...
I heard what his statement was, but you didn't say anything.
The point is this, okay, and I think we have to stick to the point. The point is, you served that woman breast milk ice cream. It should have been something that you volunteered.
What about if she has a food allergy?
Whether she has a food allergy or whether she doesn't, as a restaurateur, as the owner of the business, don't you think you should tell people?
What am I supposed to say? What kind of cow the milk came out? If I serve somebody some ice cream... And I say it's ice cream. You want me to give them the ingredients? Oh, and by the way, this is ice cream. You know it's made from milk. And here's the kind of cow it came out of. And the cow was raised in New Jersey. And it ate this kind of grass. That's ridiculous. That guy that I just got done talking to is offended by the idea of nursing at a woman's breast. How's that feel?
I'm embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because that was childish.
What? But I just... Oh, man, you are... And I sponsor your program.
Yeah, you sponsor my program. I'm embarrassed for what you just said. I thought it was extremely childish. 877-876-7445. Here is Tom in Hesperia, California. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question, Ted. Where does this milk come from again?
What's that?
Where does the what brothers? Who offers the milk?
This is a dairy in Chicago, the Hassinger brothers.
Okay, and you said this is a bunch of their friends that just come in and just supply the milk for the ice cream?
This was built to be our people that they know.
Okay, and who regulates, you know, who regulates the people that they know? Who regulates that?
Regulates?
Like
I thought we were living in a day and age. I thought we were living in a day and age where we had too much government.
We're not going down that road. And don't cry, Ted.
What the road we're going to go down. I thought we lived in a day and age where there's too much government.
I didn't say that. That a bunch of women in a room and supply the breast milk. Who regulates to make sure that they're not getting paid? How do you know there's not a sign on the door that says, "Hey, donate breast milk"? And who knows what these women are, whether they're on drugs or alcohol or not?
How do I know you're not a Republican that's all of a sudden taking cover under the FDA's umbrella?
I am a Republican. That's why I'm calling the Patriot Hotline.
You're a Republican, and now you want regulating breast milk.
Ted, you're veering way up. The point is, you're serving this to someone that consumes it. You have no control over where the breast milk comes. Some brother's factory has some chicks walk in and donate milk.
Do you honestly think that's why that woman threw that plate of ice cream at me?
She threw it at you because you didn't say where it came from. You didn't say, by the way.
She threw it at me because she was an old, dried-up bag.
You're filing a lawsuit against this family, man, and you're coming out and you're saying all this stuff, and it's going to prejudice the hell out of your case.
My attorney knows I'm talking about this. Okay?
But everything you're saying on the show tonight, they're going to put into a countersuit, man.
She may be a dried, quote-unquote, a dried-up bag, but you didn't say, by the way, this is breast milk. You said ice cream, enjoy, it's on the house.
Well, let me ask you a question. Milk happens to be the latest thing in nutrition and in food, and we had this and we served it. Okay.
Okay. No. So too, it's essential for life. I understand that the people should know about it. It shouldn't be known about, and you as a restaurateur should regulate. I know God forbid you use that word. Where this comes from.
Well, why would you want regulation if I see that's the thing that really...
The gentleman's right. There's nothing... what was your question, sir?
He asked me, where did it come from? Do you want me to say it a different way? It's women's breast milk.
Okay, all right, I understand that, but there's no one that said these women have been tested for drugs or alcohol. They're this or that or the other thing. You said it's a bunch of brothers that own this factory. These girls come in, they donate it. Now you're giving it away. You're finding a loophole.
These are families. These are families, and they are healthy families. They're Midwest families, Midwest women.
How do you know that?
Because I happen to know the Hassinger brothers very well. And secondly, if you've got a prejudice against big, fat women, which is probably what they are... I don't think you really are concerned at all, sir.
I have a prejudice about putting things in my body that I don't know where they come from. I have a prejudice against that. If I choose to go and smoke a cigarette or I choose to drink a beer, I'm choosing that. I don't choose to have ice cream.
Well, let me ask you, when you and your husband get together and talk about this...
Okay, what is that crack?
Wow.
I think you know what I mean.
So what has that got to do with anything?
Starting to cry.
I think he's prejudiced against women's breasts.
I love women. I love women's breasts. I love them to death.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean I want that squirted in my coffee when I don't know the lady.
All right, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, thanks very much, man. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to laugh at that last line, even though
I'm a sponsor of this program, and I'm disgusted by you, and I'm disgusted by your engineer, who I hope dumped that. And
he dumps what he thinks he ought to dump, and not.
As a sponsor.
You're the guy that's selling or giving away or whatever you're doing women's breast milk.
Well, now I think I've heard it all. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you call the police and have me arrested and have me drugged behind a Jeep and beaten because I happen to think women's breast milk is a good thing. Please call the police, have me me plumage. You ought to hear yourself.
No, you ought to hear yourself. You just sounded like a jackball again, okay?
How long do you think I'm going to sponsor this portion of your program?
I got Dynapep. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on giving a woman breast milk ice cream. I mean, how funky is that, you know, if you don't tell her what it is first? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Doug Danger next hour talking about Charlie Sheen.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted of Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen, where we endeavor to be great hosts. And to come into my restaurant and physically assault me as that woman,
can I make a suggestion?
What?
I would not, in the middle of a commercial, try to make these pitches that you're making on the show, you know?
You know what, Phil? I appreciate very much your suggestion, but I think a moment ago here, I think you showed your colors a little bit by talking to me as you were saying that I was being rude to some woman who said that she puts a man's fluid into clam chowder. I forget.
She never said anything of the sort. What is it with you, man?
What is it with me? She said she brought that up. I didn't.
Yeah, she did, but she didn't say she puts it in clam chowder.
Well, what do you think she does? She brings it up. Oh, well. And I said, it's not edible. Or she goes, how do you know? Well, I can tell you, ma'am, if you're still listening, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't know. So, wow. Okay, I mean, can we...
All right, I'm just...
Are you stunned by how stupid I am?
No, I'm not stunned by how stupid you are, but I think that what you're saying here does not help your case in this lawsuit. 877-876-7445. Here is Jeremy in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Bart, there's a reason why good restaurants give you a menu so that you can pick what you want and know exactly what ingredients are in what you're eating. So it's no wonder why Mr. Ted here has deliberately held off that information of being breast milk ice cream to give to the young lady, not the elderly. The other thing that when she assaulted him...
Can I ask you something? I asked her, would you like to have a delicious dessert?
It's not about a delicious dessert. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's
what you
said earlier. You like breast milk. You don't know if she does or not, so give her the option to make that decision for herself.
Why didn't she say no?
That's the reason why she was upset. It had nothing to do with her being elderly and not being able to produce breast milk. That is not the first thought that went through her head. It's the fact that you assaulted her because you put something in her body that she did not choose to put in there.
I think it's interesting, sir, that you know her better than I do. I'm the one that she threw a whole dish of ice cream at.
And well, you said it wasn't a whole dish. Yeah,
you also said,
Ted, it wasn't a whole dish of ice cream. You said it was she'd eaten all
it.
It was a sterling silver dish
that you said, and you deserved it because you assaulted her by putting something into her body that she did not choose to be there.
Wait a minute, but you don't know what you're talking about, young man. First of all, the woman said to me, what's in it? And I said, it's a surprise. And she goes, I like surprises.
Wow, you didn't tell me that.
Being this tough guy inside of a courtroom, you should know the term full disclosure. You should have given her the information ahead of time before allowing her to put something in her body.
We're not in a courtroom, we're in a restaurant. We're not in a court of law, we're in a restaurant.
The woman asked you how you don't want to see you inside of a courtroom.
That's exactly right.
So therefore, you must be...
You don't want to see me in the courtroom.
No, no.
And you don't want to see them standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish at
them. Your intelligence level is about the size of your shoe. So here's the reality.
This guy's going to tell me the reality. This ought to be good.
This is the reality. Your restaurant must not be doing that well for you to have to sue an elderly woman just because you were...
I'm not suing her. I'm suing her husband. And her husband owns one of the biggest post-production houses in L.A., so you don't know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Right.
Number two, nobody throws a dish at me in my own restaurant. And number two,
you're just a tough guy against an elderly woman, because had it been somebody else, you wouldn't be doing this right now. Because they have
money. She threw the dish at me. She made me out to be some kind of a clown.
She chose not to have.
Because you've had things in your body that you chose not to have, haven't you?
No.
Okay, Ted, why don't you grow up, okay? Why don't you grow up?
Yeah, sure.
And again, this is what I argue with my 12-year-old little girl, because it's the same mentality. Because this gentleman here, obviously,
I guess he's never heard
of the mentality that the customer's always right, because he talks about too much to hear anybody else say
anything. The customer's not always right. Sometimes the customer's
an idiot. Maybe if you were to shut your mouth and open your ears, you might learn something.
Like any place you eat, I'm sure they've got at least one customer that's a blithering idiot. And I've got another thing to say.
We're all out of time. That's it.
So, Big Mouth here. You know something, buddy? I hope you eat. A steak's on me. Come on out to Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendry.
Okay, your passion is coming off as erratic.
The state assembly did their job. Democrats in the assembly stood up.
Was a very difficult time in my life.
Hollywood's biggest night.
And it's
going to be a wide hump.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And welcome here to the world famous Phil Hendry show. And tonight we unveil our newest look, which is our Phil TV, a new generation of our webcast. Right now I have a roller coaster I'm sitting in front of here as it careens down a track in Las Vegas, and we're broadcasting from the El Pacifico, but we have multiple camera angles, we've got effects, and we're going to continue to improve on the video look. So go over to philhendryshow.com to get a backstage pass and watch as we continue to improve the product, not just on the air, but online as well. 877-876-PHIL's the number here. Charlie Sheen goes on a media blitz today saying he's sober and he's going to sue CBS. Governor Walker of Wisconsin gives the fleeing Senate Democrats an ultimatum, plus eco-friendly low-flow toilets in San Francisco cause a big stink, literally. Professor Emery Clayton joins us this hour to talk about Louis Farrakhan saying these uprisings in the Middle East will come to America. And I was at the Genesis Club here in Southern California this weekend to hear an address of Professor Clayton's, and he and I are going to talk about that. Our number is 877-876-7445, and our affiliate spotlight tonight is on WXNT 1430 AM in Indianapolis and the WVOP 970 AM in Vidalia, Georgia. Great affiliates on the Phil Hendry Show network, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. So check out our brand spanking new Phil TV videocast, the second generation of our videocast. And while you're online, go ahead and pick up a backstage pass and listen to our archives. We've got thousands of hours, and we continue to add to them, as well as our videocast, as well as our news feed, as well as our email, which I answered all of it this weekend, even though it's in form letter.
I don't know how many people don't like that.
Well, at least I answered it, okay? Professor Emery Clayton joining us from L.A. Canyon College in Southern California as Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam leader, predicted on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East. And I heard you speak last night, Professor Clayton, about this, and you seem to agree with Louis Farrakhan.
Well, I do agree with Louis Farrakhan, and I said as much at the Genesis Club address that I made last night, one that I was very grateful to see you at, Phil. And I heard the people who were there discussing afterward the veracity of these claims made by Minister Farrakhan. We can get into discussing what Minister Farrakhan said. But I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, young man.
And all right.
I've got a little bit of a bone to pick with you, because as I was giving my address and giving my reasons based upon some 250, if not 300 years of European colonial rule in North America, using the sweat of African slaves, and as I was giving historical precedent and citing historical reasons for what Minister Farrakhan said, I saw you in the front row, and you weren't the only one. And I will talk to those individuals that I saw in my own good time, but I saw you laughing at one point.
You saw me laughing when?
I don't recall at what point in the address, but I got the distinct impression you were not taking me seriously, and that's fine. I suppose a man has every right in the world to express his opinion, but I think I have every right in the world to express the following opinion.
And well, let me just, for, if I was laughing, and I do recall laughing, it was at the notion that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root in the United States.
That was in essence the comments made by Minister Farrakhan. And he made those comments in Illinois. He said, well, you're looking at Tunisia, you're looking at Egypt, you're looking at Libya, you're looking at Bahrain. You better prepare because it's coming to your door.
Right, and that's when I laughed.
Yes, you laughed. And what I want to say on your program tonight was, it was, I don't think it was the kindest thing in the world to do, Phil. But I'm not worried for myself. I'm not worried for myself. I thought it was insulting to me because I'm an educated man. It's got nothing to do with Emory Clayton, the man, but it did have something to do with me as a professor.
You feel insulted that I left?
Of course I felt insulted that you left. Excuse me for a minute. I need some water.
Go ahead.
Of course I felt insulted. And I felt insulted because I am a professor of urban studies at a university here in the United States of America, and you've told me you don't even have a college degree. Is that correct?
I do not have a college degree, no. But let me just say this. I don't...
So you don't have a college degree, and yet you sat and you laughed at me.
I wasn't laughing at you.
Well, then what were you laughing at?
I was laughing at the notion that you were, you know, I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the notion. I wouldn't even be laughing, really, at Minister Farrakhan. I'm laughing at the idea that the Middle East uprisings are going to take root here in the United States. A completely different country sociologically, a completely different country politically, a completely different country historically.
And the people of color that live in this country, do you think there's some other kind of person of color that lives in Africa? Lives in the Middle East?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why.
You do. So you say there is a different, what, do they have a tail?
No, but they are different culturally, politically, historically. If you're talking about black people or even Arab people in America, these are Arab American, African American. These are different people from the standpoint of upbringing, from the standpoint of socialization, from the standpoint of their orientation politically, from the standpoint, everything. They're North Americans, you know.
All right. You use a lot of big words, but what I am trying to tell you, Phil, is that no amount of big words, no amount of reading in a magazine and getting a big word out of it, is going to make up for the fact that you don't have a college education. And the people that are listening to your program, I think, are going to take their cue from you. And I know that a lot of people in America don't have college educations. I know that a lot of people that are working third shift are not college educated.
And all right, and what is the point? Are we not allowed to have opinions?
You are most certainly allowed to have an opinion, but it's not an informed opinion. when it comes to debating me. My opinion is informed by the fact that I've got a college degree. My opinion is informed by the fact that I'm a college-educated black man. My opinion is informed by the fact that I am not only a college-educated black man, but I am a professor. I'm a teacher of these things. And for you to sit in the front row of my address and laugh and in so doing, denigrate my political point of view, I think needs to be pointed out and it needs to be straightened out. And
well, are you all right? So what did I say that you disagree with?
It's not a matter of me disagreeing with you. It's a matter of you disagreeing with me.
And well, that sounds a little arrogant, doesn't it?
Not, I don't think it sounds arrogant when the facts are very clear. I am a man with a college degree. I am a man with a teacher's credential. I am a black man, and I am a man who is very aware of the societal influences you speak of, the socioeconomic and culture and so forth. Minister Farrakhan made a statement. I concur with it. Now, in the front row of my speech was you, a white man. Are you laughing at me? Now, that does not compute.
And well, you know, the laughter, it was a couple of points where I laughed, Professor Clayton, when I heard you saying that this is going to come sweeping into America. And
yes, but you don't have the, you do not have the training or the education to laugh at me. You see? You don't have the
Well, what about the fact if I just happen to find it funny?
There's no such thing as just happening to find it funny. There comes a point when you have to look at who it is you're listening to and say, that man's got an education, I don't. That man is a black man, I'm not. That man is a teacher, I'm not. That man is most likely much smarter than me. Now, I'm not singling you out.
No, I know you're not singling me out. What you're basically saying is I've got an audience, and there's a lot of people listening to the radio, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime. There's a lot of folks out there who have do not have college degrees, and I shouldn't encourage them.
Well, that's my point, because what you're doing then is you're saying, look at me, I don't have a college degree. As a matter of fact, I don't have, I've got no, barely any college experience at all. And yet here I am doing a talk show. And I'm making opinions, and I'm formulating opinions, and I even went so far as to sit and listen to the speech of an educated man that I know, and I laughed at it. Laugh. In his face.
And I didn't laugh in your face, Professor Emery. I was sitting there in the front row.
Well, you're sitting in the front row, and you laughed in my face. And
well, I did not mean to. If the laugh, I don't think my laughter was all that evident.
Well, it was fairly evident.
Well, how evident?
Well, I think that when you laughed, people could hear it in the second, third row because you went, ha-ha. You understand?
No, I don't remember going ha-ha like that. I remember
you put your hand or your fingers to your nose as if you were trying to stifle a laugh. Now, I'm talking to you about this tonight, Phil, because this is bigger than whatever it was that Farrakhan said what he said, and I agree with him. But for you to laugh, and then you said to me afterwards, I don't have a college education, but a lot of people in America don't. We still are going to have opinions. And I said to you, yes, but are you trying to tell me that your opinion on this is going to be more it's going to be right?
Well, who ultimately knows what's right?
Exactly.
Until the event actually comes to, until the event takes place. In this case, uprisings here in the United States in much the same form. I have just heard in my life people talk in apocalyptic terms all the time. All my life I've heard people say, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, oh my God this, oh my God that. I have heard people say all kinds of crazy things.
What do you mean by crazy, though? You see, you've heard. But you've seen riots, haven't you? You've seen uprisings.
I've seen a lot of urban disturbance, but none of it having to do with anything that the people are. All of it having to do with the American experience, you know.
Well, the American experience, yes. But you're trying to say you know more about it than I do. Now, let's get back to the point. You know,
I'm just telling you what I know.
And what you know is what you know. People who don't have a college education are going to listen to you and say, listen to Phil. He's talking on the radio with a big talk show, and he has these opinions, and he's talking to Emery Clayton, and he's, excuse me, Phil, but you're butting in, and...
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
But that's what you're doing, and they're going to be encouraged to do the same thing. That's all I'm saying. And
so you don't want people questioning you?
I don't want people such as yourself who don't even have a college education telling me about whether or not Bahrain's going to blow sky high and the brothers there are going to influence some of the activities of the brothers here. This is something I'm intimately involved and knowledgeable in, and you, with no college education, are going to tell me? And then you laughed at me.
I'm apologizing for that, okay?
Apology accepted.
All right. Then can we move on?
We can move on. I'm not angry anymore. I'm just telling you how it affected the speech. It threw me off. And now I've had to deal with people since then who aren't college educated coming up to me and going, well, Professor Clayton, let me tell you what I think. Excuse me, what college did you go to? Well, I didn't go to a college because they know you didn't either.
Well, it's worth talking about, but I don't think that it's, I think it's a dead end. You say, you know, if you have a college, if you don't have a college education, if you do have a college education, you can't talk to me about Minister Farrakhan's statements that the Middle East uprisings are coming to America. Professor Emery Clayton, who is a college educated man, and yes, I did laugh at his speech when he said that he agrees with Minister Farrakhan that the uprisings in the Middle East are coming to America. I shouldn't do that. I don't have a college education. And maybe neither do you. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our number 877-876-7445. Professor Emery Clayton joining me as we comment on Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan predicting on Sunday that America faces imminent uprisings that mirror those in the Middle East.
Let me explain as well, Phil. In that case, in that instance, Minister Farrakhan does not disagree at all with some of these people that you may admire, like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck has predicted this.
I don't agree with Glenn Beck. You know.
Well, you may not agree with Glenn Beck, but it puts you a little bit outside of the mainstream of where a lot of you people seem to put your confidence. But I'm going to say this.
I don't agree with him. If Glenn says that this is what's going to happen, I disagree with him, too. I do not believe, and Americans make this mistake always.
Hold on for a minute, because you're starting to give a lecture. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one that...
I understand that. I'm entitled to an opinion, though.
You're entitled to an opinion, but let me... I've got to express mine first. I'm the one with the teaching credential. I'm the one with the college education. I'm the one... and you and many of the people that listen to the talk show, I don't know about the people listening to you. Many people listening to talk radio don't have the education that it takes to debate someone such as myself. Now, I am a professor of urban studies. I have a...
Pardon me, but I know what your credentials are.
Why'd you interrupt me? See, you did that again. You did that on Sunday night. You did it again.
Sir, I did not interrupt you on Sunday night. I laughed. I'm sorry that it was a distraction.
It was a humiliation for me to stand there with a college... I got a college degree, and I'm laying it down, as we say. You know, I'm laying it down. Back in my neighborhood, that's what we used to say as young people. I'm going to lay it down for you. And you laugh at me.
I apologize.
I accepted your apology, but I just want you to be aware of what you did.
All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. I got the same cough you have.
Fancy that.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Terry in Meridian, Mississippi. Terry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, I want to say that this education that he keeps referring to, there is a country full of educated idiots. And, for example, in Washington, D.C. right now, and...
educated idiots.
You, you have the right to your opinion as well as any of the rest of us, but there's a lot of college-educated, college-degree folks out here running up down the road driving trucks, and which I might add is the heartbeat of America is the truck driver. Now,
I don't think that's the norm. I don't think that. I think I agree with the truck drivers being the heartbeat of America, the haul the freight. The truck drivers do a great job. But to say that most of them have got college degrees, come on.
There are doctors out here. There are medical doctors driving tractor trailers as we speak.
How good can they be as doctors?
How good can they be? Doesn't matter how good they can be or not. They're tired of the profession working in medicine.
Tired of making money? I would think that a man...
who knows why they're driving trucks? Maybe medicine became boring for them. Maybe it wasn't really their calling. Maybe they went into medicine because their mother wanted to be a doctor, wanted them to be a doctor, you know? And they decided they wanted to drive a truck, you know?
Mr. Henry, this is the point that I'm making. And this gentleman, Terry, that's on the line. Terry, please. You can hear Mr. Henry likes to talk. He has no college education. And you can talk about the truck drivers with college education. Mr. Henry has no college education, and yet listen to him, blah, blah, blah.
All right, you hold the line, Terry, hold the line. I'm going to take a break, but we will be right back with you here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with, I just hung up on Terry, great. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Nice going, because you're talking.
We'll be right back. Call me back, Terry, sorry.
Blah, blah.
Phil Henry. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots, on this night that we roll out the next generation of our videocast, Phil TV, our new live webcast with much, much more enhanced view of us doing the show and special effects. With me is... With me is Minister Farrakhan. This is Professor Emery Clayton from L.A. Canyon College commenting on what Minister Farrakhan said this past weekend, that the uprisings in the Middle East will visit America. For me to even give an opinion is unworthy.
I didn't say it's unworthy, Phil. What I said was...
Well, that's every time I gave an opinion...
I believe I let you give your opinion at the beginning of this. I believe I let... But for you to continue to repeat it in the face of a college-educated black man, and I say that with pride. I'm not hiding that. A college-educated black man. And for you to give your opinion in the face of that and say sociologically and this and that and a lot of big words. No. Your big words that you learn reading... Reader's Digest or a big word book, I don't know what kind, that's fine. And
by the way, if I'm enhancing my vocabulary and at least my understanding of words...
But you are giving your listeners who are in the same boat as you, people with no college education, you're empowering them to speak up and argue with me. I don't mind people arguing, but at some point you have to acknowledge I'm arguing with a college-educated man.
877-876-7445, the Phil Henry Show. I'll let my listeners decide. How about that? Now, poor Terry, I hung up on him, but he wanted to just conclude some thoughts. Go ahead, Terry, and thanks for hanging in.
Yes, I was going to ask the professor. He keeps talking about, in your defense, I'm speaking in your defense.
Thank you.
And professor, can you do what Mr. Henry does in that radio booth?
Well, I forgive me for saying this, sir, but I can't. I'm not an organ grinder either. You know, I can't groom poodles, and I don't sweep streets. So no, I can't do what Mr. Henry does in that booth. And
this is like a classroom.
A classroom? Are you kidding? Oh, come, you guys have got to be kidding me. Mr. Henry is at best, he's a guy that's keeping the campfire tended. But you are not teaching people. I teach people. I've got a teaching credential.
There's a lot of people in the classroom with college education that are not teaching. They're drawing a paycheck, sir.
I will tell you this, sir. I think it's a tragedy. I mean, I think it is a damn shame that Mr. Henry commands the audience that he commands, and he hadn't got the education that God gave a hound dog with mange. And
boy, that is really insulting, man. I mean, I got out of high school.
That doesn't get you any place now. And with the job, the level of responsibility that you've got, I find the job you've got, I think is, I find it to be a tragedy. Just a tragedy.
Let's go to Sandy in Yakima, Washington. Sandy, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Hi there. I have been listening this evening, and I'm sorry that the thing got so sidetracked, but I'm going to stay on the sidetrack. I am highly offended with Mr. Clayton's assumption and confusion of education versus intelligence. There is a far cry between the two. I know a lot of well-educated idiots, and I know a lot of very intelligent, successful business people that do not have a college education, and I find...
Did you hear how you said that, ma'am? Ma'am, did you hear how you just said that? You said successful. And I think you were being... I don't think you were trying to be funny, but I think it was a subconscious a statement. Successful. In other words, they may... You didn't even know you said that, did you?
And okay, what's the point?
The point is... She was mocking those people.
Yes, she's mocking those people as being, maybe you missed the point.
I didn't miss any point.
No, she was saying that they may be successful, they may be college educated, but they're idiots.
Well, would you deny, ma'am, boy, that takes a lot of guts to say that. Would you deny, ma'am, that there are a lot of people without college educations?
Sir, my brother is a doctorate, and he's intelligent, and he has worked for the government for many years. My father, who had a photographic memory, did not have the opportunity to go to college, was one of the most intelligent men I have ever known. My husband also does not have a college degree, but I will tell you, sir, he could run circles around you in the intelligence area. And education is not an indication of intelligence. It's an indication of schooling, and it might be underwater BB stacking, which means the degree wouldn't amount to much.
You said a whole lot of nothing there, with all due respect. That was a whole lot of nothing. You say you got all these people that are educated, then you got somebody else not educated.
You're
educated.
Do not make
I'm
a mistake
you,
on that.
Are you trying
I am
to tell
very
me
well
that
educated,
people that
sir.
Are you trying to tell me though that people that are uneducated in your family, because you said there's some uneducated ones, are going to be able to out argue me?
Well,
I have
God,
a plan.
I mean,
there are a lot of people that do very well that do not have the kind of education you're talking about, and there are a lot of educated idiots out there.
That may very well be, but they cannot say they know more about what I'm talking about than I do.
Apparently, if someone doesn't agree with you, they're not educated enough.
That makes me angry, Ben. That I will give you all, but you can't tell me that some, excuse me for saying this, one of your relatives is smarter than me.
You know, are you
what was
you,
what was she just said that,
that
she just said
I
that she's
she,
excuse me, Phil, but I'm talking to the lady who's got an education.
I do have a college education, but let's throw that
aside. Right, so I'd rather talk to you, and I don't want to talk to an idiot like Henry. And I can tell you...
Hey, watch the idiot thing.
I do not need a college education. I did not need a college education to have the ability to be well-read. No one does. It doesn't take that. You can read. You can teach yourself anything, sir. Anything.
You are, wait a minute. What did you just say? You do not have the ability to be well-read?
Boy,
that doesn't make no sense. That doesn't make any sense at all. Wow.
Use words.
No. No, you said you don't. You said to me you don't have no ability.
He didn't say that.
No, my name is Emery Clayton. I'm the guest. Did anybody invite you on a show to be a guest? Did anybody invite you on a show to be a guest? No, they invited me on a show to be a guest.
Wow. Now I know why so much of your time you say blah, blah, blah. It makes more sense now.
See,
anyway,
here we
thank
go.
You for having
you're,
me.
You're educated. Yeah, okay, I won.
No, you didn't win. There's nobody winning.
That lady reduced herself to the level of someone throwing, excuse me for saying it, ma'am, like a monkey throwing feces in a cage.
No, she most certainly did not. I don't agree. Thank you very much, Sandy, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I don't agree with that at all. And
she, at the very end, she was going, wow, wow. She was mocking me like an 11-year-old girl who got into laser tag and somebody else didn't.
You know, Louis Farrakhan made a speech that you made a speech commenting on, and we haven't talked about it at all.
We're not going to talk about his speech until I'm assured of the fact that the people I'm talking to are educated with regard to the cultural, sociological, psychological, political realities of the situation. I'm not going to talk to a guy that's got 1 year at JC. Now, Phil, I don't denigrate you as a man.
No, not at all. You just won't talk to me about certain things, even if I make sense.
You're not making sense. I listened to what you said at the very beginning. You're making no sense. You made about as much sense as that, and I understand you like to listen to Johnny Cash. I'm hearing that Johnny Cash music you was listening to just before the show, right?
Yeah.
You make about as much sense as that guy does.
Johnny Cash has passed on. Let's have a little respect.
I have respect for Mr. Cash, but I'm saying his music is not my cup of tea. He doesn't make any sense. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't understand what he's talking about. Boy Named Sue, and that's not even what we're discussing here. All right,
let me move on to a call here. 877-876-7445. Joanna in Lafayette, Louisiana. Hi, Joanna. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Listen, Phil, I don't understand why you were putting up with this fellow. Sir, I have a master's degree in psychology, okay? And I've worked at a university, and I'll tell you something right now. You're talking to an educated woman. And let me tell you something. In America, Americans, whether they're educated or uneducated, have the right to have an opinion, and they have the right to vote and express that opinion. And our forefathers gave us that. And you are very arrogant to assume that your opinion is better than anyone else's.
I never said you don't have or Mr. Henry had no right. I said once I heard his 1 year of junior college opinion, am I supposed to sit there and argue with the man? He's trying to tell me about the Middle East and the cultural reality of not only the Middle East, but the racial reality of that part of the world. He's trying to tell me, a black man. And I got to sit and listen and listen and listen.
Yes, you are supposed to. Because he has a right to
the point of bleeding. I heard the opinion. Now it's time to get real. You see what I'm saying? It would be like you have a degree in psychology. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start laying it on you about psychology?
I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm having trouble making out what you're saying. Talk a little slower.
Okay, right there, you just gave it away. You see?
I didn't give anything away, sir. The phone is not coming through clearly.
No, you gave it away. I'm talking too fast. I'm talking too fast for you. Isn't that what you said?
Oh, God.
Yes, but
the connection is bad, sir.
Uh-huh. What I said was the following thing. Are you going to be, as a psychologist... Well, she's giving me lip.
Well, lip. She's not giving you any lip.
I heard her go, uh-huh.
No.
Look at this is
oh
not we're not we're not look at the professor.
Look at Mr. Henry. I've got way better things I can do. Okay, you know I've got rats in the cellar. You know what I'm saying is this. Are you going to listen to a little tiny kid come up to you and start rapping psychology to you? Of course not. You may listen to that child for about 5 minutes, and then you'll politely dismiss that child and move on about your business. It's the same thing with me.
Okay,
and I'm
going to
come on the Phil Henry show, and Mr. Henry's going to tell me all about Bahrain, and he's going to tell me all that. No.
Anyone can educate themselves, just like that former lady said. Anyone can study and read. Look at Glenn Beck. He is so brilliant. He's probably got an IQ.
He's an idiot.
He doesn't have a degree, but he's got a memory that's impeccable. He can stand in front of
you. How do you know he's not making that? How do you know that simple-minded fool isn't making half of that stuff up? You don't know.
No,
that's
he's
what I'm
not.
Saying.
That man is telling the truth. He's almost the only one giving America the truth.
I bet you don't even check it out. I bet you just trust him because you think he's like, what do I call it, Jesus.
I'll listen to idiots like you, too.
Glenn Beck is going to be in a padded cell one of these days, and you'll be
he's not.
Like that by your friend.
But I'll
he'll be in a padded
else.
Cell.
God,
America,
man, you really have got...
is a free country, sir. Our forefathers made it free.
Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan. Glenn Beck agrees with Louis Farrakhan.
The Constitution and making our law according to the Constitution, we won't be free anymore. And if we listen to people like you and Farrakhan, we'll be oppressed, okay?
Wait a minute.
And
that proves you're not smart. That proves you're not smart because Glenn Beck agrees with Farrakhan. He thinks the violence is coming here, too.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
I believe that that this will be tried in America, but it won't succeed. And I believe that's
exactly.
What Phil was
No, it will
to.
Succeed.
It won't succeed.
No, I was saying that
Americans
it's not.
Americans won't let it succeed. They'll try.
Hold on. I want to give you something that you deserve here.
Hey, what a speech. Isn't that beautiful?
Why are you being sarcastic?
Oh, she thinks she's Dolly Madison.
All right, anyway, thank you for your call, ma'am. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's pretty rude. Don't you think, Professor?
Hey.
Yeah. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
A lot of demand to talk to Professor Emory Clayton here tonight, so we may just go into the next hour with Professor Clayton. He has told me that he's willing to. Professor Clayton, I appreciate that.
Well, I would like you and I'd like your listeners to understand, and I hope that they are being mindful of the fact that I have said, yes, I would like to be a part of another hour of broadcasting. That means I am being gracious. That means that I am being forthcoming. That means I'm being magnanimous. It's one of my favorite words, magnanimous. Magnanimity. And I do not believe it's been extended to me.
Professor Clayton, I have apologized to you for laughing at you during your speech. I acknowledge you're an educated man, but I think you're practicing some form of...
What, voodoo? You want to start talking about the black man?
No, I wasn't going to say that. I think I was going to say some kind of intellectual totalitarian thinking where only those with college educations should speak.
Well, I believe that we have reached a point in this country. We have so many idiots. Now, that lady there just said, who's the man that's on the radio?
Glenn Beck.
Yeah, she's talking about, boy, there's a guy that's got no education, spent time in a drunk tank. From my understanding, wasn't he trying out at Promises or the Betty Ford Clinic or someplace like that?
And I don't know. I don't know, and I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think people can learn from their mistakes in life, move on, and benefit other people. Here is Jay in Houston, Texas. Jay, you're on the Phil Henry Show here with Professor Emory Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell that professor that with all his education and everything, I don't have no education, sir, but I make $175,000 a year in the oil fields. And people don't have to brag on themselves. You're so self-centered, man. You need to get off
I'm not putting down how much money you make. I think that's a great thing. I think you've found your calling in this world. But when you're going to talk to me about Louis Farrakhan, nobody's going to talk to me about that. And Mr. Henry laughed at me. He sat there in the front row and laughed. Laughed like a hyena.
No, I didn't. I didn't laugh like a hyena. I laughed.
Sir, the man has already apologized.
Watch his language, please.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? No college education, the man comes out with the S-bomb.
All right, the man was... You know, Professor Clayton, you're not giving people a chance.
Yeah, you need to...
I'm giving them...
You need to keep your mouth shut a little bit and listen. You have a lot of college education, but for what? I don't hear nothing coming out of you, but you're a
college education... I said to Henry and the rest of them people that were talking, that would listen to me, that Louis Farrakhan is right. There are going to be uprisings in the United States. Then Henry says to me, well, Glenn Beck agrees with you. And I said, man, boy, I don't know what you're smoking, or maybe you ought to check the mushrooms you're eating, because that's about the wildest thing I've ever heard.
I think
it's true. It's true. If Glenn Beck, Louis Farrakhan, you know, there's a lot of people predicting some sort of whack apocalyptic thing. I don't agree with that.
Well, you may not agree with it, but you're disagreeing with a man, here I am. And this gentleman here, this Jay, he doesn't like me saying it, but I got to say it. You're disagreeing with a man who, A, I've got a college education. I've got a...
We know all about your college education.
Tired of hearing.
God.
Well, you know what? Then when you guys get an education like the one I've got, then you can talk.
I bet you don't make no money, man.
But you know what? I'm a teacher. Is that all right with you? What do you think? You going to laugh at teachers, too?
My wife is a teacher. My wife is a school teacher.
You laugh at her?
No,
you don't
go around bragging. I've got all these credentials and all this. She don't put me down. I don't put her down. All you've done is put this man in the radio. Hold on, man. Let me finish, man. All you do is put down the radio, the guy on the field. All you've done is put him down. You put down that lady before you put down. You need to be put down. You need to be put in your place, sir. Hold on, sir.
Is a college education that I've got. I'm educated.
I don't care about your college education. You bleed just like me. You bleed just like me. You put your pants on just like me. You use the restroom just like me.
I wash my pants first.
Okay. All right, very good, Jay. Very good call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Professor Emery Clayton. We're going another hour in this discussion of college educations and Louis Farrakhan.
Put my pants on like him, I don't think so.
Phil Henry.
I wash my drawers.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
I have not, because I don't feel like there's any real support there. No one has issues.
The take-home lesson from this is that, they were very, very unprofessional.
Are you blonde?
No. Going out onto the streets to protest, save it.
And he pulled his pants down?
There is something that I got to tell you now.
Who's the wiener here?
Famous Phil Henry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking here with Professor Emery Clayton about a lot more than just Louis Farrakhan, we're talking about college educations and who has the right to speak in America, a country built on free speech. We'll be back with Professor Clayton here in just a moment. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have rolled out the next generation of Phil TV. Our live webcast is enhanced tonight, and we hope you join us with a backstage pass and watch as we give you multiple camera angles, enhanced effects, and a whole new viewing experience on the World Wide Web here, the Phil Henry Show. As well as, of course, with a backstage pass, our archives, as well as our podcast, the daily podcast, you can access at philhenryshow.com and through iTunes as well, and our classic podcast. So lots to do, and a lot waiting for you at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. And so before we get back to some phone calls, and we appreciate the people who have been hanging on with us, Professor Clayton, back with us. And, you know, obviously you've raised a ruckus here, Professor Clayton, starting with your contention that I did not have the right to laugh at you during that talk you gave, and then moving on to I don't really have the right to talk to you about this issue, and then moving on to the fact that I'm uneducated. And it doesn't seem to bother you that you sound effete. You sound
That's one of those 50-cent words.
Well, you sound Machiavellian, totalitarian. You sound dictatorial. You sound controlling. What word would you like to use?
I am. Here's the word I'd like to use. I'm educated. I'm educated, Phil. Now I know. I give every man his due. Don't think that I'm not egalitarian. I'm a very egalitarian man, but I give every man his due, but I also know what each man is due. Now, if you want me on your radio program, I've been doing your radio program. I'm here in the middle of the night, and I'd love to be on, I don't know if you're familiar, on that Mike Malloy show. I want to get on that show and do some of these other shows that are not overnight, and I'm buried. I mean, I'm buried alive in the middle of the night. I don't know if you ever heard. There's only one band that I like of that, what you call heavy metal, because most of my music, as you probably imagine, I like black music. But I do like that one band that's called Venom. And
I know Venom. They're a metal band.
Yes, and they've got a song called Buried Alive. And doing these radio shows with you, man, when I hear that man sing that song, drinking that Newcastle beer like those white people do in England, I'm buried alive, all right. I'm trying to claw myself out of the dirt.
Well, you know, if you're having a hard time dealing with being on this show, then maybe we can just conclude.
No, I'm not. You get so touchy, don't you?
Well, you're talking about the fact that I'm not educated, the fact that you're buried alive here in the middle of the night on my show. You'd rather be on Mike Malloy's show.
Well, because Mike Malloy agrees with the great... You're a conservative. You're talking about Patriot Radio and all this. And
well, why don't we talk about Wisconsin, but you don't want to do that either.
I'm not going to get involved in a discussion of Wisconsin where I'm going to be sucked in to having to talk to people that are not educated enough on the issue of Wisconsin to debate intelligently, and all they know how to do is call me stuck up and get all mad at me because I'm smarter than them. I won't have it. I will not have that. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin. I'd love to talk about Wisconsin with you, Phil, and I've told you how you can talk about Wisconsin with me.
Yeah, you told me go back and get two more years of school.
Right. You go back and get your bachelor's degree because you got 2 years at JC, my friend. That ain't going to get it done. That just don't cut it. That don't cut it in the conversation with me. You want to sit down and break bread with me? At least I'm being honest with you.
877-876-7445. Must be a very lonely world not having anybody to talk to. And
wait a second. I got plenty of people to talk to.
You got plenty of people to talk to. You should not get so upset when a man such as myself, as low on the totem pole as I am, laughs during one of your speeches. Here is Lynn in Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead, Lynn.
I wasn't giving a speech. I was giving a talk.
All right. Go ahead, Lynn. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Clayton. Yes, ma'am. Lynn.
Yes, Mr. Clayton. I'm in a situation where that I deal with a lot of different people of a lot of different cultures, and I can spot a professor right off because they seem to have this arrogance about them that their way is the only way, and I just think it's really unfortunate that our young people are going to college they're putting themselves in front of someone like you who is so extremely opinionated that you don't have time to listen to people. And I think if you were a little nicer to people, maybe they'd be nicer to you.
I do have time. I do have time to listen to people. And I do listen to people. And I can't help it if I'm right. When I look at someone, he says to me, Mr. Henry, I've got a year and a half at JC, and then he laughs at me. Laughs in my face.
Just because you have an education doesn't mean you're right. And like I said before, to think that our young people are going to college and they get your opinion, which seems to be the only opinion, on regardless of what it is, I just think it's really, really sad.
I don't think my opinion is the only opinion. But I will say that Mr. Henry does not have the education to debate me. Now, if I had someone, I don't know what your education is.
You had people coming on here with education.
Whoa, excuse me. I'm talking to the lady. Ma'am, what is your educational level?
Actually, I went to high school, but I also know how to treat people like people. And, you know, I'm not going out there. I'm not trying to agitate people.
Okay.
What does that mean?
You wasted my time, Mr. Henry.
I'm not wasting your time.
How about if you treat people the way that you want to be treated? And I think you get from people what you ask for. And I deal with professors.
I know. And you make lemons, make lemonade out of lemons, and you make a pig's ear out of a sow's syrup. The point is that...
Don't be condescending, okay?
I thought you were lining up people that have been to college. I thought you were lining them up for me.
I think
so
you need to talk to
bang,
people
bang,
who are
bang.
Human. I'm human. Just because I couldn't afford to go to college doesn't make me an idiot.
What we're talking about, Professor Clayton, is how to treat people.
I know what you're doing. It's like I may not be a great man, but at least I'm a civil man. I understand that. I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson.
I just think
you know it's all
kindness.
Exactly.
I think the world needs kindness, but I also feel that the world needs a little more ass kicking. I think we got to put our boot in the ass of a few people. And I think some of these, like you, Mr. Henry, 2 years of college, I'd put my boot in your ass. Why don't you go back and get your B.A.? Or you've been spending too much time in college flashing a B.A. I bet you that was your problem.
Well, that's very nice talk with a lady on the line.
Oh, she knows I'm clowning.
Anyway, Lynn, thank you very much for your call.
Yeah, you know,
I agree with the lady. There should be more kindness. I agree with you, ma'am. But
I will put you on my prayer list that God will come down and thump you on the head and make you nicer. You have a blessed day.
You know, that's another way of saying F you. You know that, don't you?
What is?
Saying I'll pray for you. That's another way of people so they can say, boy, I'd like it.
Well, you see, you're in this area of condescension.
No, I'm not, Phil.
Yes, you are. You're in an area of condescension where now it's, I saw Sounder with Cicely Tyson. And a pig's ear out of a sow's purse or whatever.
A pig's ear out of a sow's purse? You mean a sow's purse out of a sow? Oh, boy, you got it so jacked up and balled up, I don't even know what it is.
A silk purse out of a sow's ear.
There, look at that. That's what 2 years of college gets you. You got to sit there and rack your brains over something like that? Give me a break. I didn't disrespect that lady at all.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You're talking to her, you're talking to me like we don't rate. And you don't want to talk about Wisconsin because we don't have the education. Mike in Bakersfield, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Phil. I mean,
I'm trying to maintain a level. I'm trying to maintain a certain level.
Yes, sir.
For quite a while, just seething listening to this individual. Because, Professor, you are not a teacher. You are a professor. There is a difference. You can be well-rounded, well-educated without going to college. You can have knowledge. You can have opinions. Professor, what is the spacing of a 2x4 in a wall? How many inches on center? Do you know?
I hire a guy. You don't know.
What is an SCCM, a SCIM?
I know what that is.
Listen,
it's something a guy without a college education needs to know about.
Okay.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Squared cubic centimeter. It is a flow measurement of gases in the semiconductor industry, Professor.
It means nothing.
It is a TOR.
It means nothing.
Do you know what a TOR is? Of course not.
There's no point to that.
Because you, sir, could not find your butt with a flashlight, a roadmap, and both hands. You are a pompous, arrogant individual whose only claim is that I'm an educated
I hire guys that know stuff like
who
that.
Who cares?
I hire guys that know stuff like that.
I
don't need to know that. I hire a man to know that.
But you claim to be educated. You claim to have a college degree. You should know this stuff.
That's something you learn in manual arts. You don't learn that in college.
No,
you learn
no, sir.
Yes, you learn that on
working on multi-million-dollar tools producing the chips that are in the computer that you use every day.
You learn that at night on a matchbook.
Wrong.
One of the matchbook universities.
You learn that in school.
That's exactly right.
Professor, what is FSII?
What is the basic lower bicameral house of Sudan?
Sir, that I do not know.
Bicameral lower house?
That I do not know.
You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know. You don't know
how
the nations of the world stack up.
How is knowing that applicable and financially viable?
So you, the next time you get up on a radio station and talk about Africa, then you know. Now, what is a midget?
Because
what's
the only way you can earn a living.
What? What do you mean, what's a midget?
That you are producing.
I bet you don't even know what a midget is.
What is that supposed to mean?
A midget.
What is it? A midget?
Yes.
A midget is a small person. It is a small vehicle. It is a measure of dimensions.
I gave you an easy one.
Now, you know, this is a conversation that we're having.
I gave him an easy one. But what he's trying to do is he's laying some stuff on me that he took at Manual Arts High School. And he's trying to ask me what that means. And
Professor,
I got a four-year degree.
You stay right there in college. Because if you had to get your hands dirty and actually earn a living, you couldn't do it. Thank you very much.
What I do, don't you dare hang up. I get the last word on
that. Oh, hold on. Thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-7445. This asinine conversation with Professor Emery Clayton will continue after the break. How much education do you need? I'm going to get into Wisconsin with him and what's going on in Wisconsin. Even though I don't have enough education to talk to him about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our news hour, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is open. Professor Emery Clayton has joined us. It's always a challenging time, Professor. Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker has said that the Democrats better come back, or they're going to have to move ahead with a budget that is essentially going to further strap the state. Okay?
Yeah. Again, something that you don't know anything about.
And can you not be so insulting?
No, I'm trying not to be insulting. What I'm trying to say is, let the record show you laughed at me. And
I laughed at you. It's over, okay? I thought you accepted my apology.
I did accept your apology. I did accept your apology. You want to talk about Wisconsin? All right, we can talk about Wisconsin. We can talk about Louis Farrakhan if you want. That'd be fine. But I'm going to tell you, as God is my, as God made green little apples, that if I'm right and you're wrong, you have to take it like a man. And that's the problem we've got with so many people these days that get involved in these conversations, political conversation. And I find myself arguing circles around these people, and they can't even take it like a man. And for me to find truth.
Well, you know, maybe you're not exactly convincing them.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, though. If I don't convince them, that is a question of their education. What I'm talking about.
All right, 877-876-7445. We'll take another phone call here, and we have Lorraine in Mobile, Alabama. Lorraine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Professor Emery Clayton. Go ahead, please.
Professor Clayton, you may have a college education, but the world teaches you common sense, and you wouldn't be affecting your health by trying to force people to believe like you if you would just listen.
I listen to people, ma'am. I listen all the time. And these days,
I'm 83 years old, and
you made it through.
I haven't heard anything that you've taught me.
Well, I can tell you, ma'am, that, well, I'd be happy to teach you, but I have a classroom full of young people I teach, and I'd be happy to teach you, Lorraine, but Mr. Hendry feels the need to continue to talk and talk about things he don't know anything about.
Like what?
Well, you want to talk about Wisconsin, and I'm sure Lorraine would like to talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin is known as the Badger State. You know why? Because the way they run their lives up there, it badgers people to death, the way they run their lives up there, the way they run everything into the ground. You know what's a cheese, Lorraine? They have cheese in Wisconsin. You understand that?
I couldn't understand you. Do you agree with them, the one that's on strike?
Ma'am, you're telling me you don't even know they got cheese in Wisconsin.
She couldn't hear you. She's asking, do you...
You tell people what they believe and what they think. You have no idea because you don't ever listen.
Well, ma'am, I asked you, are you aware of the fact that they have cheese in Wisconsin? Cheese. You're aware of that?
Yes, she's aware of that.
No, I'm just asking the lady if she is.
Well, I didn't call to talk about Wisconsin. I called to try to save you a little time and making yourself sick. You can't force people to believe you when they know better.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. You're absolutely right. And when they know better, no, you're absolutely right. You know, but I'll tell you something. If people think they know better, but they don't, and I can feel my guts start to churn. And forgive me for saying this, but I'm on a toilet for the rest of the day. You know what I'm talking about. Who did that? Did I do that or did they do that? They did that.
You just make yourself sick by thinking everybody has to agree with you. You have to learn to take it both ways.
You know, the thing of it is, Professor Clayton, even if they're wrong and you're right, you have to just say, well, you know.
All right. Do you do that on your show? Of course you don't.
Well, I'm on a radio show. I have to maintain a level of credibility.
What? What does that mean exactly?
That means that it's different from being in a classroom. Hey, thank you very much, Lorraine. Very nice call, and good of you to talk to us tonight. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. I thought I heard music going there in the background. Maybe not. Let's go over to John. We've got about a minute to go in this segment. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
I don't mean to talk about Wisconsin. I'm in the military, so my national discussions are a little out of whack, but I usually keep up with international just because of the fact of where we might go, where we might be.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
My thing is the whole uprising in the U.S. and if you're going to go with riots and stuff like that, well, that happens all the time, but it's normally settled through the police or the courts. And if you look at Wisconsin, those are peaceful riots or peaceful protesters, and the police said that they weren't going to take them out of the building because they were being peaceful.
Hold on, John. John, hold the line. We'll be right back with you, John, and with Professor Emery Clayton here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, radio for Patriots by Patriots.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with me is Professor Emery Clayton here. And if you're looking on our videocast, philhenryshow.com, the backdrop there is the city of Seattle.
What city are you in?
Well, I'm in El Pacifico here. I'm up on the L.A. Ventura County line.
Why don't you have a picture of, why don't you have the ocean or something?
Because we're just testing out our new video equipment, and we have a beautiful backdrop of Seattle, which is where my producer, Jason Rantz, resides. And it's a beautiful city, so.
I wanted to, if I could, see, forgive me, that didn't make any sense to me. And
does that make you feel superior?
No, it doesn't make me feel superior. No, sir. No, it doesn't. But I do want to ask you something about what you do.
Go ahead.
You see, you talking to me, and I yesterday I told you, I forgive you, but you laughed at me. And I asked myself, I'm giving an address to people on the situation in the Middle East and why the people there are uprising against their governments and the reality, in my opinion, the same as Louis Farrakhan that's going to visit America. And I'm giving this talk, and you laugh at me. And I ask, how does this world get so balled up that you, with a year and a half, I don't think you got a year and a half of JC, laugh at me, and I got my master's degree from Morehouse College, and I did my postgraduate work at the very same school that Condoleezza Rice went to, University of Denver. Now, I want to ask you something. I've seen you on the television. I've seen you on video. How is it you sit there and hop around like a monkey? It looks to me, Mr. Henry, and I don't mean any offense, but what you're doing there, you look like a monkey, moving all around like a monkey in a cage, you know.
And but you don't mean any offense.
I don't. I'm being very descriptive. Understand there's a difference. I'm being descriptive, and you look like a chimpanzee moving around and grabbing this and grabbing that, hopping all over the place.
And what do you mean grabbing this and grabbing that?
I'm watching you on your video, okay?
Right.
And you're grabbing knobs and twisting and jumping and scratching yourself, and it reminded me of going to the primate house at a monkey, at a, what do you call it, a monkey zoo, or wherever they keep. Now,
you know, if I said to you the very same thing,
that would be racist.
Yeah, there you go. It would be racist. Yeah, but not you to me.
I don't recall white people ever being consistently compared to a monkey. Do you?
It's individual white people, yeah.
Well, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the consistent comparison. But I'm not saying that you are a monkey. I ain't even saying you look like a monkey. I'm saying your movements are monkey-like. Is what I'm saying.
Okay, 877-876-PHIL. You know what? I'm not even going to argue with you. I'm going to go back to this gentleman who's been hanging on. It's John in New Bern, North Carolina. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the whole discussion on who laughed and who. That seems like something that I would argue with my best friend about when I was 12. My question is,
he looked like a monkey. That's all.
Okay, well then, if that's what you think, that's your opinion, and you're able to have one in this great nation, and so is he, and so am I, and so is everybody else. I don't need to get into opinions. My question is the whole Middle East uprising? Are you
right.
when you say it when you agree that it's going to come to America? Are you saying it's going to come at the rural area, the state level, the national level? I mean, what do you mean by when you agree that it's going to come over here?
Well, I believe that we're going to have, as Mr. Farrakhan said, there will be a urban uprising of the have-nots against the have. Same as you've seen in the Middle East, you see. And
you don't see any difference between the United States and the Middle East.
I'm trying to answer this gentleman's question, and you just jump right in. And that's why I say it reminds me of a monkey at the zoo.
And you know, whether it reminds you of a monkey or not, you believe that this is going to happen in the United States because we're the same as Bahrain, we're the same as Tunisia, we're the same as Egypt.
I think that we have. See, you're asking me questions, and John, forgive me, but Mr. Henry has. You're asking me questions you got no right to ask.
And why don't I?
Because you don't have the education. See, So that's what I'm saying, John.
You're saying that to me, or?
I'm saying to you, sir, yes, I do believe it'll be urban, and I do believe it will be among the lower classes, the less privileged classes, the people, lower middle class and lower class people, economically deprived for a long time in this country, yes.
Now, are you saying that it's going to be on the same violent level as it is going on over there?
I do. Absolutely, yes.
See, no, I would
disagree too.
I would disagree with that because let's say I'm poor and you know I'm not liking a bunch of my buddies get together
you?
and we retaliate. Now, if we're just retaliating,
what's your educational level? Can I ask you if you've been to college?
Oh God.
No, I went to high school and then I joined the military.
Okay. Yeah. See, I can't. You know.
Is there a problem with being in the military?
No, there's nothing wrong with being in the military, but I don't think you have the education to argue with me.
Well, I have the education to lead people into battle and to make sound decisions in a split second.
Absolutely.
Saves lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'd say,
that's, that,
okay.
You know.
Well,
I
keep up with these international things because that's where I might go. And,
right,
and those are the things I might have to deal with.
But I'm an educated man, see? And
here we go again. I mean, it's like we're right back where we started.
And you keep sending me back?
See, Professor, and I understand that. I understand you're educated, and I'm not questioning that. And like these past callers, I'm not going to ask you questions about my job, and I don't need to hear questions about your job. I understand that you're smarter than me in certain areas, and I know that I'm smarter than you in certain areas, just not in the same areas. So if we can agree to disagree... I would say that if something like Libya happened here, let's say at a state level,
it's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here.
Saying,
I mean, look, the closest we ever came, excuse me for interrupting, but I got to move this along. The closest we ever came to Libya in this country was in the 1960s when we had a series of urban riots. We had a series of, from one city to the next, of urban insurrections, if you want to call them that, Professor. And that was one city after the next. I mean, Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, New York, Los Angeles, the South. It was all over the country, and somehow we were able to weather that, pull it together, and survive on to the present day. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. Thank you very much for your call, John. I appreciate it. We're always looking for these apocalyptic scenarios. We're always, because the American people just love to scare themselves.
So you're trying to tell me that what happened in the 1960s is what happened in Libya right now?
I'm telling you, the closest our country has come in recent years to what's happening in Libya, Egypt, was the urban insurrections of the 1960s, what we called then the riots. But they were dissatisfied, angry, pissed off Americans, and they had every right to be. And they went out and they hit the streets and they started taking it out on each other, on their neighborhoods, on cops, on the National Guard, and vice versa. And it was a horrible, bloody time.
Well, you just said a whole lot there, and you didn't allow me to say anything. And you didn't allow me to say, and plus, you hung up on that guy. So now he thinks that you're telling me what to do, and I'm the guy with the education.
You're the guy with the education. Tell me what I just said. What's wrong with it?
I'm not going to comment on what you just said, because you don't have the education for me to comment on it. It might be very good, but I'm not going to comment on it. What happened was, as you started talking, that guy hung up. And I'm sitting here like you're scratching my nappy head and saying, now, you take your books, boy, get.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
And you're laughing at me again. And
I didn't say anything of the sort.
Well, it sounded to me like I had bare feet and overalls. You scratched me on my nappy head and said, you best get now, boy. Because that guy's not on the phone anymore. And you're talking to me, an educated man.
About my opinion, that I think that's what the last time that happened in the United States. I think that in this country, we're constantly seeing these terrible things for being something worse than they are. Here is Robin in Boston. Go ahead, Robin. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. I don't know.
Hi.
Is this Robin? Or is your name Robin?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just had to say that just because someone goes to college doesn't mean that they're fully educated. Some of the most intelligent people I know didn't finish college. For example, my father...
Well, how do you know they're intelligent?
Uh, Well, my father, for example, he knows a lot about astronomy, history. He can hold his own in any political discussion that I have with him. It's, you know, intelligence isn't just formal education. It's about what you know in general. And
that's all fine and dandy, but when we're talking about whether or not the urban insurrection of the 1960s is the same as the insurrections in Libya and Egypt, and Mr. Henry said that that was as close as we ever came to it in this country, and he kept talking about it till that one guy hung up, and I'm sitting here with a college degree, and he's treating me he's visiting my shack in the backwoods of West Virginia working for Vista.
Oh, yes. It may not have been good that he cut the guy off. I don't know how the show works and how the timing works, but you can't keep using your education as, you know, every time someone brings up a point and they ask you to respond, right. You claim that you can't respond because you're an educated man and that they don't deserve a response. The only thing that separates between you and Mr. Henry is 2 years of college, only 2 years of education.
No, that's wrong. I went to 4 years, then I did my postgraduate work. So I've got 8 years of education, Mr. Henry. In other words, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm a 10, and Mr. Henry is 1/8.
1/8 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's right.
Well, I apologize for saying that wrong. But you should be educated enough to understand that not everyone who you talk to is going to be as educated as you are. And you should understand that you need to bring, I'll use your term, you need to bring yourself down to their level so that you can have a conversation. And maybe see that some of the people without college education are just as intelligent as you in other ways.
Robin, that's a very good point. That is a very good point. And in fact, I did do that once. I decided I would bring myself down to people's level when I was teaching, my very first years of teaching at the high school level. And I wanted to lower myself and lower myself and lower myself. But you know, Robin, there are times you can do that and you lose yourself. I woke up, and I'm not proud of this. I woke up in bed with a 16-year-old girl. That's how low I sunk. What are you laughing at?
Good God!
What are you laughing at?
I'm like... that's how low you... Robin's talking about education.
I know what she's talking about, sir.
Okay, and so you wanted to reach out to your students and you wind up sleeping with us.
To do with education.
No, but you said to lower myself to that level. And I lowered myself so much.
Actually.
I woke up, there were wine... There were bottles of wine laying around. And a woman in thank God I was only about 28, 29 years old myself, but the fact is, I got up from that bed, I remember throwing up, and walking outside and wondering, what have I done, you know? And I walked halfway down the street in just a pair of underwear and a T-shirt. I didn't even want to get dressed, I just kept walking.
So in your effort to reach out and lower yourself to your student's level, you wound up sleeping with one of them and drinking wine and walking home half naked?
Yes, that's the whole point. She's laughing again, see?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is why what I say to you, Mr. Henry, I tell the truth. I tell people how I've come up. I tell people the tough road I've been down. And like I said on Sunday, and you sat there, and here's Robin and the two of you laughing like a couple of hyenas.
She's not laughing like a hyena. She's giggling.
Well, it's the same spike into my gut.
Okay, Robin, thank you very much.
It's okay. Forget it.
Robin, thank you very much for your call. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. Boy, I'll tell you.
Seriously, what is up with that, with you laughing? And
you're telling me you tried to lower yourself and to understand your students, and you wound up in bed with a 16-year-old girl with wine empties laying around.
That's exactly what happened. I'm not proud of that at all. But that's what happened. And I try to tell people that and tell people how I've come up a long way and how I've come up a tough road. And they go, ha, 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 ha. Now, what do you say to a man like that? What do you say to a man that laughs in your face after you show him something that you sweated on while you lived in solitary confinement in a dungeon, chained to a wall, bleeding, and you show him the thing that you worked on and he goes, and he does this. Here, hold on. Like that. I had to put the phone down because the last man, that's exactly how he sounded.
I guess that was me, huh?
Yes, sir.
877-876. I wasn't laughing at you in the middle of any kind of pain, sir. You were in the middle. You were talking about the Middle East. 877-876-PHIL. This is Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Which is considered spiritual counseling by its members.
Can you hold on for a minute?
What?
We're back here on the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. In the last segment here with Professor Emory Clayton, Minister Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, as you just said to me, Professor, in this talk that he gave on Sunday. Now, you know, let me just say this, and then you can comment, okay? I'm not giving an opinion. I'm just, you know.
Well, you are giving an opinion.
Well, just listen to this, man.
And, you know something? I don't like being called man, all right? You know, I left my jitterbugging days.
All right, I apologize. Minister Farrakhan praised Scientology and its founder, L. Ron Hubbard. He extolled the virtues of Scientology and its auditing process. L. Ron Hubbard is so exceedingly valuable to every Caucasian person on this earth. L. Ron Hubbard himself was and is trying to civilize white people and make them better human beings and take away from them their reactive minds. Mr. Hubbard recognized that his people have to be civilized, Farrakhan said to a cheering crowd. He's described a 1983 religious experience in which he ascended into a flying saucer and heard the voice of Elijah Muhammad predicting historical events that came to pass. And he, the keynote address titled God Will Send Saviors capped a weekend of workshops focused on health, preparing for natural disasters and unidentified flying objects. The Nation of Islam believes in a UFO called the Wheel or the Mother Plane.
Right. What do you want?
Well, do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. What makes you think, because when Minister Farrakhan says that there's going to be upheaval and uprising in the Middle East and it will travel to America, I mean, a lot of what he says makes sense. There's no denying that. There's no denying. Do I agree 100%? No.
And well, what part do you agree with?
What part do I agree with? You can't deny that there might be people on other planets. Are you trying to deny that?
No, I'm not.
All right. All Minister Farrakhan is saying that if there are people on other planets, get ready. And he's talking about L. Ron Hubbard. You know, I think he said something about Scientology. It makes a lot of sense. All these white people are trying to run down L. Ron Hubbard and say he a charlatan, some kind of a murderer. I mean, they've said all kinds of things about this man. And yet he's the only white man I can think of to come along and talk to other white people and say, you got to get your mind right. Your minds are nothing more than receptacles for garbage. The white man's mind has been a receptacle for garbage for so long. Along comes L. Ron Hubbard to say, let's clean that garbage out. Let's clean that trash out and focus on the flying saucers and the things that are happening. And what do they call them? They call them nuts. But by way of thinking...
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Jerry in Jacksonville. Go ahead. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Go ahead.
By way of thinking, the man makes sense.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Mr. Henry, it's the first time I've ever heard your radio show. I will be
yes,
a fan from now on.
Thank
but
you.
I have never heard such a pompous jerk in my life as this so-called professor you have on. I tune in the middle of this program, and I would like to know where the professor teaches and what he teaches.
I teach at Canyon College, and I teach UFO studies, excuse me, I teach Caucasian, the history of the Caucasian, UFO studies, and urban studies.
History of the Caucasian.
That's right.
Okay, just to establish my bona fides in order to converse with you, as you have stated that...
I got to go. I
only
the cab,
discuss
and the cab,
with educated people.
Now,
yes, sir. Let me speak.
No, but I've got a cab waiting outside. I'm trying not to, but I got a cab waiting outside.
Phil Hendry, you're rude.
I'm rude. I ordered the cab.